Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me tonight. Book of the Revelation, chapter number 22. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter 22, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Read through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man that shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I want to preach tonight on the final amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this particular book. Lord, the walk that we've taken through it, Lord, has enlightened us and helped us and strengthened us. As we come to the conclusion of it tonight, I pray that it's made a lasting effect in our lives. But Lord, as we come to this part of it, I pray tonight you'll help me to preach in the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would take things from my mind that would hinder me from preaching, Lord, the way you would have me to, and bring thoughts to me, Lord, that would help me to further the message that you've given. Lord, may I deliver it in the spirit that you intend it. And Lord, may we receive it. The spirit in which you'd have us to receive it. And Lord, may it impact our lives in such a way that we'll serve you to a greater degree. Oh Lord, please help us. Help us to be obedient. For it's in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we come to the close of our study in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we see some final words of the Lord Jesus and we see some final warnings that's given to all of us. John has had all these things revealed to him. It's been quite a journey for John, hasn't it? You can imagine him being exiled to the Isle of Patmos, seeing the things that he's seeing and hearing the things that he's hearing and being excited about all that's transpiring before his eyes. He's seen the horrors and the heartaches. He's seen the attempts of Satan to destroy the works of God. He's viewed the end of the beast and the false prophet, as well as those that denied and rejected the grace of God. He's seen the events of the millennial reign of Christ and Satan's final attempt to conquer when he was loosed for that little season. Then finally he sees Satan cast into the lake of fire there to join the beast and the false prophet and all of his followers throughout all the ages. The angel of God then shows John a view of eternity. And when he sees this view, he sees a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And as he begins to see it all, he sees the beauty and the glory of the eternal places and the glory of God. And he gets so excited about it all, and he falls down at the feet of the angel, to worship the angel, and the angel says to John, do it not. He reminds him that he's a servant. He's not the Savior. And then he says, worship God. Tonight we'd be well to remember that only God is worthy to be worshiped. God and God alone. Then he says in verse number 10, the angel says, don't seal this the prophecy of this book. As we said Sunday morning, that he told Daniel to seal that prophecy. But he says to John, I don't want you to hide this because the time is at hand. In other words, it's imminent. These things are upon us. And he says, do not seal the writings that God has given to you, because it is needful for the church to hear the message of the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we go on to see in verse number 11, the Lord Jesus, when the Lord does return, it's going to be too late for many. The cross of Christ and the blood that he sheds always been the line that's divided people down through the ages. The repentant thief on the cross and the unrepentant thief was divided by the cross. The sheep and the goats, the righteous and the unrighteous, the holy and the unholy, the just and the unjust, the unfilthy and the filthy. A person's eternity will always depend on what he has done with Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And when Christ returns, he that is just will be just, and he that is unjust will remain unjust. He that is filthy will still be filthy. That's what the Bible is teaching us here. When these things take place and transpire, it's going to be too late for so many. And then we see in verse 12 and 13, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So when Christ comes, he promises he's going to reward every man according to his own personal work. I want you to understand tonight, the Bible teaches us all throughout that we are personally accountable to God. We will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be judged according to the works that we've done. It'll be our actions, our reactions, the ability that God has given us and what we've done with that ability, how we have responded to the blessings of God upon our life. We will stand before God, and he says when he comes, he's bringing his reward with him. And we're going to receive those rewards, what we've done with Christ. He reminds us he's the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, it all begins with God and it all ends with God. You remember what the writer of Hebrews said? He said that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Dear friends, the truth of the matter is when we stand before him, he knows everything from the beginning to the end. We will not be able to fool God. We will not be able to talk him into giving us reward. We will not be able to change his mind because he is an all-knowing God. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning and the end of it all. He is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. He knows the things we do. He knows the things we say. He knows the things we think. We need to remember that too, don't we? The Lord has to help me with that every now and then. I think things I shouldn't think. Verse 14 and 15, it goes on and it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So the Bible's teaching us that those here that trust him, those that do his commandment is to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are several commandments that he gives to us, to love thy neighbor as thyself, and to love the Lord with all of our heart, no doubt. But this right here is teaching us, and when you go and study it out, you're going to find out it's talking about being cleansed. Trust in Jesus Christ by faith. Those that do his commandments, those who trust him, have the right to go to that city and to enter in through the gates of that city. For all those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they will be in his presence. They'll have right to the tree of life. And all that are present that enter in through the gates of that city are those that have put their faith in God. There's not going to be any bad neighbors there. There'll be no thieves, no drunkards, no murderers. All of those will not be a part of this. You're going to live in the best neighborhood you've ever lived in your life. All around are going to be great people, no doubt about it. Enter into that city and get to go in through those gates. But without, the Bible says, those that have refused the Lord will spend their eternity in a horrible neighborhood with terrible people. The Bible says, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. For all eternity, people that die without Jesus Christ will be living their eternity with people that were just like this. And dear friends, the truth of the matter is you may not have been some terrible murderer, some awful whoremonger, maybe not even an idolater. But the fact of the matter is you're going to the same place if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You're going to suffer many of the same things. I believe the Bible teaches us there are degrees of punishment in hell, no doubt about it. But even the very best of hell is so far horrible, so far beyond our most horrid imaginations. You don't want to be a part of that place. Tonight I hope everyone here has trusted Jesus as their Savior and never have to deal with this. But if you die, you're going to be without the city. You're not going to be in the city. You're going to be in that place with these illicit and ungodly and wicked and vile and wretched people. And if they were here and they had some semblance of restraint, because there are believers here, there is a Holy Spirit in this world, there are laws here, and many of them were as bad as they were while they're here. Just imagine how bad it's going to be when they're burning and screaming and aching and they have this wickedness in them, and there'll be no restraints on their wickedness there. I'm so glad I'm not going to that place. And then verse 16, the Lord Jesus speaks. He confirms once again that it is He that sent the angel to John. John was then responsible to deliver the things in this book to the churches. And then he reminds us, the Lord Jesus in verse 16 reminds us of who He is and His relationship to the world. He said He is the root and the offspring of David. That concerns His relationship with the Jews. We understand that. He is the root of David. In other words, David came from him and he came from David. He's the root of David and the offspring of David. And if you know anything about the Bible, you understand just exactly what that's talking about. And then the bride and the morning star is concerning His relationship with the church and those saints of this age and the rapture of the church. And one day He will come back as that bride and morning star. I'm looking forward to that. But then that brings us to the final things of the Word of God. I'll give you just a few thoughts here, just a few moments. I've got six final things in this. We'll come to the final. Amen. I want you to see tonight these final things as we've worked our way through this book. And it's almost like it's like the closing of one of the greatest books in all the world, and something that God has given to us to read, to study, and to take a hold of. We see the final invitation. The Bible says in verse number 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say come, and I want you to know that throughout the ages it's been the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the work of the bride to bring men and women and boys and girls to invite them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we see the final message. The final message is for us to continue in the work to do, to continue telling others and inviting others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says him that heareth. And I believe the closer we get to the events of this book should exhort us to bring people to the Lord. In other words, as we hear the things that this book tells us about, those that hear these things, as we understand what's going on, as we see, as we're hearing the news and the events of the world, we ought to get a little bit more diligent about it and say, come. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him. And this says, him that is athirst, come. Now, him that's athirst isn't saying anything. It's saying that you can take a drink. It's not him that's athirst doesn't say come. The Bible says him that is athirst, come. Those that are parched with sin, that are parched by the world, like somebody that's stranded in the desert with no water in their canteen and has nothing. There's an invitation here. If you're parched by sin, to come to Jesus and you can take a drink of water and you'll be satisfied. I think about, you know, you've seen the old things and you've heard of the mirages. There's a lot of mirages out there. There's a lot of churches that are offering a lot of things. And there are people that are diving in head first trying to get a drink of water. And they're coming up with sand in their mouth. And they're coming up empty. But dear friends, if you'll dive in and put your life into Jesus and take a drink of the living water, you'll come up satisfied. You'll be fulfilled in what it is that you have. And that's what it's saying. Him that's athirst, come and take a drink. And don't listen to the things that are not real. Dive into this because the Lord Jesus is real. And when you take a drink of that water of life, you'll be satisfied. And then I like it says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You may not even be parched. You may not even seem to be thirsty, but you still need Jesus. When it says whosoever, there's no limit on who can be saved. Whosoever, the Bible says all throughout, whosoever believeth, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever liveth and believeth, whosoever believeth in Him. We see it all throughout the New Testament. I'm glad that this final invitation is given. Doesn't mean that there'll be no more invitations now. This is given to us to help us to realize that these things ought to impact our lives. And as we view the book of the Revelation and realize that these are all going to happen, they're real and they're true and they're going to take place, then we ought to, as the bride, we ought to be saying to the world, come. The Spirit's working, but the Spirit uses us to bring men to Jesus. God makes us fishers of men, you know. But I have a sad thought about it. Vance Hadner used to say it. We've become keepers of the aquarium instead of fishers of men. We're usually having to try to keep somebody from being so mad or upset that we can't go out and do other things. You know, in churches, it's like always somebody griping, or there's somebody here, there's somebody that's supposed to always be faithful, and you have to find out where they are, you know. You have to call and beg, you know, well, you know, you're the preacher, you're supposed to be here. Where are you at? Well, you know, I just didn't feel like coming today. But we see that a lot, don't we? Don't be one of the ones that we're always having to call and find out where you are, you know. Amen. And as we know that the Lord's worked in our lives, then we ought to be busy inviting others to come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Then we see not only the final invitation, we see the final warning. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This deals initially here with the book of the Revelation, and then ultimately it deals with the Word of God as a whole. And there's no need, what this is teaching us here, is that there's no need to tamper with the Word of God. It's already perfect and it's already complete. Satan began working on this all the way back in the Garden of Eden when he had Eve doubting the Word of God and then adding to the Word of God and denying the Word of God. He's been at work ever since. We think about the Bible, I want you to know, it stands alone. There is no new revelation. If anybody ever knocks on your door and says you need this along with your Bible, then you can say that they're liars. Because the Bible says that we don't need to add anything to it or take anything from it. Now, people that are not willing to trust Christ and His Word are guilty of either adding to it or taking away from it. That's what it's talking about here. This in no way even hints of a saved person ever losing their salvation. It confirms a punishment for those that reject Christ and reminds them that they could have had their place in the book of life in heaven if they had believed what the book says. They believed the Bible and His Word. They had an inheritance waiting on them. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for their sins. And their names could have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But because they rejected it, then He took every part out that they would ever have, every chance they would ever have of having their names in the Book of Life. It's going to be too late. Too late when Jesus comes. May the Lord help us. The final invitation, the final warning. Then we see the final promise. The Bible says in verse number 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." And this is the promise that all who have believed are waiting for. We've been looking for Him to come, haven't we? Been excited about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus was speaking to His disciples, He said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." He said, "I'm coming," and all throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ is coming, and then He leaves us with this final promise. He says, "Surely I come quickly." Now that word "surely" is a positive word. It's a sure promise. It means of a truth. You know what it actually means? It means yes. I like that. Yes, I come quickly. In other words, John, I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I will come again. I come quickly. It's a sure promise. It's a personal promise. When Jesus comes, He's not sending angels after us. He's not sending saints of ages gone by. He's coming Himself. "I come," He says. And then it's a promise that teaches us that when He comes, it's going to happen quickly. When it's time for Jesus to come, the Bible says that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's a final promise. Found in the Word of God in this moment. It's the things that are going to happen will take place so quickly, it'll be just like a twinkling of an eye. They've tried to measure a twinkling of an eye. You know, a blink's pretty quick. But a twinkling of an eye is so much quicker than a blink. And they've actually got it down to what they say it would be. And it's just hard to believe. It's like so much of a millisecond or something like that. That quick. Jesus is going to come. When it's time, He's coming quickly. There's no doubt about it. And then we see this final prayer. John says, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." After all that John has seen, he hears this promise that he's heard before, and he hears it once again. And as he realizes the things shown and the eternal blessings, as he viewed the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the foundations with all the different jewels, and as he saw the saints of the ages gathered together, viewing and seeing and looking upon the very face of God, and he watched and he saw a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne, the street of gold lined with the tree of life, and this river of water running right down through the middle of the street, the light of Almighty God and the Lamb lighting the city. And Jesus says, "I'm coming back, and you're going there." And John says, "I can't handle it anymore. Come on back, Lord Jesus." And I'm telling you tonight, there is a prayer going out from saints throughout the ages that have said, cried out the same thing that John has said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And I want you to know tonight, I'm praying that prayer, and I'm asking God to send His blessed Son back today so that we can go home and be with the Lord Jesus forever and forever. I'm looking forward to that day. And I want you to know, the longer I live in this world, the more I desire to be in that world. Lord, help us. Someday, just the right time, that prayer is going to be fulfilled. And Jesus says it's going to come. I like to be praying it when He comes, wouldn't you? But I think we ought to be looking for His return, looking for the Christ of the second coming. Then we see the final benediction. Notice what the Bible says in verse 21, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I think we all understand tonight that until Christ returns, we're going to have to live in a world filled with sin. All around us, the prince of the power of the air will continue to seek whom he may devour. He's working and manipulating his way through this world, and he has his workers, and he has people out there causing trouble after trouble after trouble. As we continue to live, we're watching as evil is called good and good is called evil. And we're watching all these events transpire before our eyes, and it's quite amazing at how wicked the world has gotten. Now, I never lived back in the ages years ago, and I've read certain things and tried to come to an understanding of certain things in the persecution of Christians, and I realize there have been some dark ages before. But we're watching the culmination of every kind of wickedness happen that's never really transpired. There's always been certain things take place, but what we're watching now is it seems as all the evil is coming up before us, and all the wickedness is becoming acceptable. Ungodly lifestyles and lasciviousness and, you know, immoralities, all kinds of immoralities. We don't understand this in America, but Christians are being persecuted to a greater degree now in some places than they ever have been. Things are happening around this world that you and I don't understand. The Muslims are really going after Christians. We need to realize this. This is the truth. People are losing their lives because of their faith in Christ. With all these things that are going on around us, with all the wickedness in the world, there's something given to us. This final benediction is given to us so that we'll never forget that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. You know how I made it? It's His grace that brought me safe thus far. And His grace is going to lead me home. The last benediction, the final benediction. And then I want you to see the final amen. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 21, last word. Let's say it together. Amen. You know what that means? So be it. I agree, you know. So be it. That's what it's saying. So be it. There's nothing that will stop the Word of God. Its promises and its prophecies are sure. And regardless of what the atheists and the agnostics and the liberals and the modernists of religion say, one day there's going to be a final amen. And when that takes place, dear friends, it's going to usher in an eternity. And I'm looking forward to that final amen. I'm looking forward to the final time that I'll ever have to pray to the Lord. Because I believe in heaven, I won't have to pray any longer. I'll be with Him. I'll be there. All will be well and all will be perfect. So as we come to the conclusion of all this, our responsibility is to be sure that we're prepared for eternity. Have you trusted Christ and Him alone for salvation? One day it's going to be too late. And we can play games and we can act like we're something at church and we can fool everybody, but God knows the truth. And if Jesus were to come today and we're not saved, it's going to be too late. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Are you giving your life for God's will? All that ought to concern us is, are we doing what God wants us to do with our lives? The rewards that He brings, that He speaks of in verse number 12, the rewards that He brings with Him will only be given to those that have done what He has for us to do. You can go back and read about that in Corinthians. A lot of people, you know, there's people that are building up, and they're building with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. And our works will be tried by fire. Well, you know what happens when fire gets hold of wood, hay, and stubble? Burns it up. And He says, we'll be saved, yet so as by fire. But our rewards will be few or none. See, there's a lot of people that's doing right things, but it's not what God has for them to do. And you know that's what matters most. It's all right to do good things, but you need to be doing the good things that God wants you to do, because that's where your rewards come in. So have you given your life for God's will? And are we pleasing the Lord in our actions, our thought life, and our desire to bring others to Christ? One day, and I believe soon, He's going to come quickly. And let me close with this thought, with this word. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. We thank You for all that we've learned. And Lord, I pray now as we come to this conclusion that tonight would be a time where we find ourselves thinking over our lives, making sure that we know in our soul, in our heart, and even in our mind, that we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Lord, I pray that You'll help those of us that are saved, Lord, to give our life, to do whatever it is You want us to do, to be what You want us to be, say what You want us to say, but Lord, always to do it with the Spirit that You'd have us to do it in. Lord Jesus, I pray if there be one here tonight that does not know this Savior, I pray that this night they've come to that understanding that they must trust Thee before it's too late, and this night they'll trust Thee. And for those of us that are saved, that this night we'll commit ourselves to doing Your will, to giving our life to doing Your will. We'll commit our thoughts, our actions, our desires. We'll give them to Thee and ask You, Lord, to make us what You want us to be. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet.